to be with some of the dynamic healings that occur every month in people's temple's atmosphere. Not to attend the Beverly Pillars as a member of our church, but before she became a member, several weeks ago, back nearly a year and a half ago, her parents came as strangers to our services. In Easter 1970, her mother came in from Louisiana, suffering from a terminal cancer. She was reporting today, and she's absolutely healed completely after being called out by Revelation. And her husband was also called out by Revelation and delivered of a fatal blood condition. Now I have a wonder ripping power of God. Every return in our recent Indianapolis meeting, in which thousands were present in the Indianapolis People's Temple last week as we conducted a massive rally there for the glorification of God good. He came into the service crippled and able to walk. He was healed instantly, doing things that no man could do in his life. And the crippling paralytic condition in his body that had not been able to walk for nearly 3.5 years was cured instantaneously. Normally we give a series of healings, but today we're not going to enumerate so many. But we can offer you thousands. You can just write as many healings as you wish if you write Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley, California. I'll be sure to be in the weekend meeting this weekend at the Benjamin Franklin Junior High School Auditorium at the corner of Stanton Day in San Francisco. We're at the Trey Parking, Apple Seating. Thousands will gather there, and you can witness with your own eyes that Jesus Christ is alive today, the same today, yesterday, and forever. Be faithful in the work which you are called. Know if you do not know positively that you are doing the will of God according to the revelation of faith that is within, and you will indeed be blessed. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. As a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. That fundamental principle has worked the greatest miracles that we have known in our day in People's Temple in Redwood Valley. We can speak about it. It's one thing to preach Christ in words, but more so to express him in deeds and actions. We invite you to come and try the Spirit to see if God is not mightily present in our midst. Not only is his love demonstrated in all the projects, the dormitories, the free education, the medical service, the commissary, the clothing center, the community center, the swimming pool, the organic gardens and orchards. Now recently, just the last few days, we've purchased 2 more homes to provide care for new children and older senior citizens. But that mighty power of the living, radiant Christ heals, stills, and ever needing. All roads lead to the boundless here in People's Temple. All time converges in the great eternal now. And each individual stands at the hub of the universe of God's mind. All things are possible in this atmosphere. I could never have arrived at any place in life other than the one I now occupy, however much I might have prolonged the journey. I stand on glorious heights raised by the sublime hands of a divine revelation that has given me, that is sustained by faith and reason, blessedly conscious of the spiritual structure of all things and of their eternal nature. God is the light that lighteth every man and woman that comes into the world, as John said. I look out over the valley of human confusion, and behold, all roads lead to the spot wherein I stand. Circle as they may, barricaded by vanity and dogma, straining at gnats and swallowing camels of religious confusion, confused in the brunts of intricate human fears, they all merge at the mount of spiritual truth. Had I trod along the dark trail of human philosophy, which circles chosen the tortuous and dimly marked path of primitive theology, I should have exulted. Truth of God's infinite goodness. Had I trailed through the deep canyons of science, explored its vacuous caverns, and groped through its dark tunnels out. liberal hopelessness of the pursuit, but the understanding that only mind is real, and God the only mind, no other terminus was possible. And my sin is over. To the mountain, why my thoughts struggled in the valley. It is wonderful. Yes, it is wonderful joy to know that all men, no matter what route in life they pursue, will one day find themselves at the foot of this sublime, noble mountain, ready to ascend into greater peace and happiness than the promise of their fondest hopes and most vivid imagination. Yes, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus the Christ is the glorified Savior. Every rock in which man sees a material foundation of life will prove a window through which he sees spirit. The divine compass is set in his soul, and the most uncertain, faltering steps taken in absolute darkness can be no way but forward. What hastens the arrival? No path is clear to the valley traveler. The turns and twists of the trails entirely obscure the high destination. Held close to the eye, one finger will hide the mighty sun, so the closeness of human problems and petty prejudices screams the great mountain of spiritual clear reality and truth. When we stand in high places, we see clearly that all roads lead thither, but this vision is not possible from the tree. It winds itself. It's in the way as a stream searching for the sea. For we walk by faith, not by sight, declared the apostle. It is faith that hastens the arrival. Faith will lead the footsteps. The soul shakes off its stupor, and thenceforth understands and perceives the way. That is why I speak with the positive affirmation of the ever-presence of God. God bid the same today, yesterday, and forever. While I might not have reason my ways to full conviction of immortality, in the past, now the conviction is most reasonable. Faith begins in the heart and not in the head. Men develop feelings into ideas and not ideas into feelings. It is wonderful to test our salvation. We should come and reason together. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. But if we live in the morass of reason alone, without the sentiment of love and warmth and feeling, we will end into an abyss of confusion in this feminine age, with all the problems of man's nationalism and his fervid, intemperate feelings of prejudice and ill will towards his fellow man. We must have a religion of the heart that is not contrary to reason. Testimony gravitates to the believing heart. I reason not to conviction, but from conviction. The higher concept is knocking at the door of consciousness. Once admitted, all experience shouts approval. Until these doors are open from within, truth seems mute. The soul is desolate. Faith is the first step. Faith in the covenants of hope and intuition and sentimental love of God. What checks this ennobling faith in man? Why does he not at once rise into the Shekinah of God, bids upon him, joyous in the promise of his soul? He knows he is immortal, yet full acceptance of the intuitive truth has been opposed by two mammoth specters, matter and time. The apparent solidness and ponderous weight of the universe and the endless succession of events in his earthly experience have so occupied his attention that he has habitually thought in terms of these formidable fountains. Thus he often makes effort to compress spirit, love, the love of God into the compass of matter, and measures eternity and time. Such incongruity must lead to confusion, despair, and eventual desolation of soul. Matter has coerced man throughout his history. It is the only real devil. It has contested his work to the universe and argued his very life is by grace of its internal reactions. It has posed as grim reality, omnipotent, inevitable, not only unconscious of life, but heartlessly unfavorable to it. Matter has tethered man to the ground, bound his movements, and intimidated him, comprising his hopes and his happiness. We know that mind is a real force. 2 weeks ago, Mrs. Shelton walked into our meeting with cancer on her face. I determined that as a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. I saw her as a pure child of God. I reached out and took that growth off of her face. For a moment there was a hole, a cavity left in the cheek. Just shortly thereafter, her face became as a newborn child.
because I saw her as the spiritual woman that God had made her in His own image, in the likeness and beauty of divine creation. Time has combined with matter to shackle man with limitations. It has bound his very existence and set narrow limits on his activities. Matter has posed as the substance of life, time as its duration. Relentless masters, these two, merciless to their slaves, heartless and inexorable in their professed laws. Man, conceived as a fortuitous mold of matter, finds his life, health, and happiness as the whim of this non-intelligent, disinterested dust. Man, conceived as a pawn of time, sees the span of his usefulness as a few short decades. The reaches of his life are mere bleak break in physical infinity. Since I have become to believe that mind is the only essence of the universe, I've stopped two debilitating diseases. Doctors said the prognosis of which were fatal. Cancer. 15 years ago, my doctor gave me no hope. If I had lived with the rational man's logic, I would be in the grave facing the so-called death that is supposed to be our destiny. But I refuse to accept it. I've seen this happen to many in our group. One of our most active parishioners was paralyzed. Mrs. Rose Shelton, a beautician, who lives in the heart of Redwood Valley in a lovely apartment. She has passed her 80 years. She was paralyzed on one side, as I said, but she determined that she would accept this faith that I have brought as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now that woman is completely healed. There's not a trace of paralysis in her body because she has accepted the real identity that she is. She's now one of the most active workers. She has a youthful heart. She's busy in the mailroom, constantly ministering, going from home to home, serving our people in the most beautiful love ministry we have ever witnessed. We have seen people like this, dozens of them, now reaching the 80s and 90s because of acceptance of their true identity in spirit and not the decadence of matter. You say, well, we're kind of foolish. We're living in an illusion. Well, it's a happy illusion. We that are so logical, you face misery as you look around at the material world. You have no happiness physically or spiritually. If we have nothing at the end of our road, of this serpentine pattern in which we are traveling on life's road, we would at least have joy in our life. We are serving others. Our dormitories are filled with young people, 45 young people, rehabilitated from drugs, getting an education, making the Christ life practical and real. Animal refuge shelter filled with the defenseless little animals, given care, our aged home, our organic gardens, all these projects. Now we're prepared in the Bay to build a lovely temple of practicality. You've never seen such a practical temple unless you come to Redwood Valley. We're endeavoring to build such a program in the Bay Area soon because of a conspiracy of some who would try to stop us from building facilities. But we will not be stopped because we know all things are possible to that mind which is in us, which is Christ Jesus. We are happy, peaceful, joyous in every part of our very bodily form and our spiritual self. We have everything to gain by being positive and nothing to gain by being a cynic. What is the substance and from whence the authority of these so-called imperial dictators of time and matter? What is matter? What is time? Only in this late history has man dared question these seemingly fixed entities. Now for years the scientific laboratories of the world have hummed with industrious research into the matter of the nature of man's material environment. The most astute minds of the race, the most scientific minds, have labored tirelessly with the problem. The findings are astounding, sometimes shocking man's staid mortal sense. Literature, the classroom, the press, the lecture platform resound with accounts of these discoveries until every child and adult is now familiar with the revelations of the parapsychology. Reality is found everywhere to be the reverse of appearances. The world looks flat, but it is spherical. The sun and the heavens appear to revolve about the earth, yet they are relatively stationary, while the spinning earth creates its own illusion. Every primitive idea is dissolved. The motion of planets, the trend of winds, the growth of vegetation, the presence of man are found not to be the whims of beast-like gods, nor yet monstrous accidents, some cosmic accident in nature, but the operation of definite, calculable laws. The telescope has reached into outer space, finding distances and magnitudes which shame imagination. The microscope has peered into the infinitesimal and discerned tiny worlds and organisms, complete and perfect in themselves, minute and mighty orders of life within and without the universe of man's first primitive beliefs. Matter has fled like a shadow before the searchlight of scientific investigation. More and more tenuous have become the conceptions entertained by the learned savants as man worms his way over the cumbersome route to truth. In place of the solid, impenetrable entity it was once thought to be, matter is found to consist of a multitude of tiny particles which do not even touch each other. Nothing but energy, atoms, particles moving. Every chair, every fixed object, even a wall. Science has now proved it is not solid at all, but just a mass of energy. The atoms themselves are composed of small particles, electrons, and protons, but even these have no solidity, being described as negative and positive units of electricity. Thus, the specter of matter which bent the thoughts of man earthward is reduced to a mere field of force. What we call matter vanishes just as scientific analysis believes it is about to grasp it. We find force is the dynamic element, the mainstay of the universe, and the essential principle behind all forms. Force. A force that you can believe in that will bring you health, happiness, joy in every sinew and fiber of your body and your spiritual form is the belief of the force of the Christ life. With a near approach to reality, we may think of electrons as objects of thought and time as the process of thinking. How good it is to dwell in the concept that God is mine, that this mind can heal every known disease. Just a few days ago, we had 500 people that were called forward by revelation in our mass meeting at Benjamin Franklin Junior High School auditorium at the corner of Scott and Gale in San Francisco. Every one of them had a crippling form of arthritis. Some were bent over in stooped conditions, so pain-racked it was difficult to look upon them. The compassion just touched you, and my soul bled as my tears wept for them. But I began to see that, as I had learned in the past, all things are possible. And as I prayed the affirmative prayer, laid my hands on some and just merely conveyed the spoken word on others, every one of those 500 people straightened their limbs and their hands, tested, come to the meeting tonight, Saturday night, at the same auditorium at Scott and Gale, and tomorrow morning at 11, and asked the people if it was not so. Every one of those 500 people were instantaneously healed by the power of mind, the force, the only force that is really a part of our universe, the force of love, the energy of good. To accept any other type of belief is to cause division in your thought, unhappiness in your service to man. I know religion can be Pollyannish. I've seen some that put it in a projectionist realm, that heaven is out there in the stars everywhere and is nowhere. They say that you have to wait for pie in the sky. That kind of religion, I say, is not worth consideration. But to those that accept God as mine, and that we must allow that mind to invade the affairs of man, in all affairs of man, economically, politically, and socially, you will see a people that are able to do something without suffering. We have eliminated racial segregation in our midst. The majority of every Valleyites are of Caucasian background as I am. There's a complete integration and amalgamation and enactment of the Bill of Rights. All people flow together in harmony in one red rainbow family. We have seen the orphans closed, 200 of them. We have the aged provided homes. Jobs have been provided for those that will need. People have come to us destitute and now have a new life. 108 people recently converted from the drug traffic because of this active faith in the mind that is God and the mind that is ever present in the actual conscious presence of God, wherein there is no vacancy of help. The actual presence of God, the revelation of it, is the source of all supply and will satisfy every good desire. We leave you in that consciousness as we ask you to turn in again on this radio base station at KFAX tomorrow morning, Sunday at 7 o'clock, and hear the words of life, the spoken word of the messenger of the Almighty. We assure you that if you believe in the actual conscious presence of the living God, your needs will be met, and you will have a revelation and a determination to go out and serve mankind, a vision wherein you will not perish, but bring life that will eventually cause man to establish a utopian government and a utopian system wherein the knowledge of good God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I thank you in this affirmation of the ever presence of the Most High God. Please write Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley, California, if you care to participate in the most honest and sincere work of God in our area today. We thank you. As is our custom on both our Saturday broadcast on this station from 10 to 10:30 in the morning, and of course our Sunday morning broadcast at 7 to 7:30 in the morning, we give many of the details of divine healings that occur in our midst. Normally we relate a dozen or so on each broadcast, but we will be a bit deeper. If you would like more details of healings, we have thousands, actually tens of thousands in our files, just right as People's Temple Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley, California. Just a few instances. Mr. Turner came into our assembly a few weeks ago. He had been a paralytic, unable to walk. He came in the Redwood Valley service in the first part of June. 5.5 years he'd been a paralyzed person. He was called out and told in the details of his life, and that there were 1,000 present in that one assembly, the first assembly on Sunday morning. He was healed instantly, ran around the child, and has been coming to every service since, restored. No trace of that 5 years of paralytic debilitation caused by a stroke 5 long years ago. This is Emily Leonard, actually died, welcome a former Agriculture Commissioner of California. She was dead for 3 minutes. The doctor said she had brain damage. She was restored just as prophecy had said. Mr. James Pugh owns a lovely rest home in Redwood Valley. You can look it up in the phone directory. He's wasting away with cancer. He could not eat. Down so thin as a rail. Revelation said he would live, and the cancer was healed, and is now one of the most active secretaries in our temple. Also active in the local factory here. And as I said, he owned a rest home. Healed by the marvelous power of God 6 long years ago. We will gladly furnish you all the healings of any variety and type you wish by merely writing us at People's Temple, Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley, California. We would like to give you some hope this morning that God is not merely a dream or an abstraction or a hypothesis, but that he is real and he has always had a body. God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. When Abraham was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord, the good shepherd, appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. God personified, inculcated in human form. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. You'll find that, I think, in Genesis 18. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of the Peniel and blessed him. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of that day. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost not ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. We find that Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel came together, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink with him. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend, in Exodus. And I think in Job 42 it says that Job answered the Lord, the good shepherd, and said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And Manoah said unto his wife, we will surely die because we have seen God. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the good shepherd, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon in 1 Kings. That night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask, what shall I give thee? Proof that the living God is not just confined to an abstraction, but is a real presence, an ever-presence, that is available to all. Jesus was on one occasion accosted and charged with blasphemy because he called himself the Son of God. Do you not stress vividly that it was written in Scripture that ye are gods and sons of the Most High? Does not Scripture declare that each of you are temples of the living God? How could he, or any other person as a person, be the Son of God? It is by the Spirit I emphasize and stress to him and all of you today that the Spirit that is within you makes you the child of God. If this be true, what about God? God has as much right to be personified and inculcated as his child, has as much right to be in a body as his Son Jesus. There are not sons of God many, the only begotten of the Father. He hath declared him, but has been termed sons because many received him. They are called the sons of God, but the Son of God manifested in many individuals. Therefore he is not the sons of God as many, but he is the Son of God manifested in many forms or many bodies. Whichever, therefore he is called the Son of God, being manifested in many individuals. As many as receive him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, by the Spirit of God, and by the love that the Father hath bestowed upon you this morning, you are called the sons of God. But what said he concerning this mystery? Behold, what love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we might be called the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Then the admonition this morning is for us to temple our tabernacle God. God is love. And tabernacle in his fullness, that men can see his appearance so that they will be like him when he appears. Jesus made this a little more explicit in his prayers recorded in St. John, I think the 17th chapter. I pray that they may be one even as we are one. He did not say there, pray that they may be many sons, but that they may be one even as we are one, but that they may be one in us. In the unity of the Spirit, love, of mind, of aim, and of purpose to you I come. This morning, unifying the children of God together in the oneness of brotherhood, eliminating segregation and class consciousness, war, and establishing peace, that the selfsame Son of God has brought to fruition in the body called Jesus might be manifested in one and in all, and still be the very selfsame Son of God this morning in your life. But by this name of the sons of God, you are called because of the presence of God in you and in others. And in each and in all of us, humanly speaking, we have that life consciousness of God. God speaks according to the versions of men so that they can understand him. Hence you are called the sons of God. But the Spirit that was in the one must be produced by reincarnation and brought to fruition in one and all. Paul said, I come to you in the person of Jesus Christ. He incarnated the very essence of Jesus. And so can you, by letting this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. It is a principle available to all. You may come from a lowly place as Nazareth, in which by scriptural tradition it is said no good thing comes from that place. But if you determine to be the actual conscious presence of the living God and manifest your Savior, you can do it, from the least of you to the greatest. As a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. That identical expression, as being called many, will be known to be the only, the one Son of God. God makes you the one. In other words, God makes them one that they might no longer be twain. It is written, man shall leave father and mother and cleave to the wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Nevertheless, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Yes, it is a privilege to realize the unity of the Spirit of the love of God, of mind and aim and purpose, has actually been established amongst us this morning and is unifying all mankind into one body, the united body of Christ, many members, but one body. This is it, of which will be actually fulfilled and political, as inscribed on our coins inscripturally, e pluribus unum, one shall be composed of many, and may be called many, but in reality, there is one that is emphasized, advocated, and demonstrated, and one who liveth forever and forever in each and all of God's holy temples. To make it even more explicit, with a little more positivity, as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it is written, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and him to whom the Son will reveal it. Then I say this morning, there is one to be universally established in the hearts and lives of all humanity, and bring an abolition to war, to segregation, to class, and creedalism, even in the consciousness of the people, that they might recognize the unity of all people, of which I am vividly incarnating and stressing actually in your presence this morning. Nothing has ever been destroyed in the history of the universe. This I am consciousness will never be destroyed. Not a ray has been, not an atom wrong. Nature's oldest force is as good as me. We may all fairly agree. I think that whatever really fundamentally exists must, so far as bare existence is concerned, be independent of time. It may go through changes and thus have a history. That is to say, it must have definite time relations so far as its changes are concerned, but it can hardly be thought of as being out of existence or coming into existence at any given period. You are the ever-presence. God is and always shall be the same, and is available to whosoever will that may come. Thus the inference may logically and safely be drawn: if the laws which made the universe know no principle of loss, it shall never be our experience to be lost. We know that matter is indestructible and that it cannot be created, that it transforms itself only by passing through various combinations, and that it is equally true for the physical forces known to us, such as heat, light, and electricity. Life forces, and in particular the human soul. Yes, the human soul should be considered as analogous forces. They consequently participate in the permanency of these forces and are capable perhaps of transformation after death, but are not destructible. We can find no law which permits the annihilation of anything that is fundamentally real. We are seeing ourselves as the temples of God. I am seeing the actual presence of the living God. I am living in the fullness of the abundance of the consciousness of God's actual presence, and in that consciousness there is no vacancy of divine loving supply. There's no vacancy of health, prosperity, and blessings to satisfy needy humanity, providing you are the suffering servant willing to serve your fellow man. The abundance of the fullness of God's actual presence can and will satisfy every good desire. Living in this present consciousness, we see every day in our temple cancers pass before our eyes. In our Indianapolis rally, thousands gathered. The walls were even lined. Little children had to sit on the floors. People stepped out of the wheelchairs, dropped their crutches. Cancers, as being every meeting, were passed before our eyes. One epileptic came up in a grand mal seizure. But because we saw them as the son of God, I went to the young woman and I said, "You cannot bite the finger of a prophet." And immediately she stopped biting her lips and her gums, and the blood stopped flowing, and she opened up in the glassy-eyed stare left, and she radiated the love and perfection of the mind which is Christ, and came in every service thereafter utterly healed by the absolute recognition of God's actual presence, his ever-presence. Yes, this is the fundamental truth. Man is real. He thinks, reason, acts, and is the channel for the expression of power, beauty, love, and intelligence. With this idea that we are the sons of God, we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. We are now again in the power of the process of getting greater work done for his holy cause and purpose. Two houses last week acquired to house little children. Courts are placing more children with us all the time. Also, a housing facility for more of our senior citizens. We have our organic gardens and our orchards and our animal shelters, our community center, the cooperative housing, the lovely temple. And now, because the opposition of mortal mind is at work, we are in the process of building a temple in the Bay Area so that people will come from all creeds and all faiths and all races to worship God in the beauty of holiness in his actual ever-presence of love. If you care to help us, by the way, White People's Temple, Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley. But if you do not recognize this ordained work of Christ, it matters not, for nothing shall stop this work of Christ. Every knock is a boost. Every criticism will enable us to come to his praise. Every obstruction will cause us to see his blessing. Nothing can stop us before we are hid in the mind which is God. We realize the eternality of our true nature. He is therefore under the law of eternal life that is under the administration of that which God is doing in our midst. Furthermore, his individuality. Your individuality is a reality, as is your consciousness, and these qualities which enrich your existence are likewise under the omnipotent protection of God's holy prophets. If you listen to his prophets today, of which I am, you shall prosper and be in good health. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the other place, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. All the wanderings of man have never uncovered a corner in the universe where he may indulge his materialism without being interrupted by the sudden appearance of that which I am, the Christ truth. Sun, moon, and stars praise that noble experience of a heavenly Eden on earth. The geologist moves along paths worn deeply by the divine footprint and the divine essence in the laws he discovered caused Newton to cry, "Glory to God, who has permitted me to catch a glimpse of the skirts of his garments." Looking out from himself, man finds all directions are up. Come with us as we join in this great faith of Nehemiah. We are on a wall. We cannot be hindered. All true knowledge is of the one creator, the one creative idea of love and brotherhood and peace, and his spiritual creation, and no other knowledge is true. Pythagoras, Socrates, Plato, all the great minds of Greece with which we are familiar through the classics have asserted that the soul itself, the individual ego in man, has always existed and forever will. We hear much of atoms, units, and primaries in scientific parlance, but they have eluded every physical research. What is more, they always will, for they exist only in the realm of mind. They are living ideas, spiritual entities, immortal thoughts of God's deity. As soon as we cease to think of ourselves as matter, limited by the old theologies that we must waste away in this mortal version until we reach our heaven pie in the sky, as soon as we see away the fact that thy kingdom is come, thy will is being done in your temples now in earth as it is in heaven, and regard ourselves as pure spirit, we shall have demonstrated our immortality to our own consciousness. The sick shall be healed, the dead shall live. We shall find the only key which will unlock the chambers of perfect health, rest, and happiness in our own natures, as we are now being in quiet resting places in the mount of the house of God's Lord here in the temple in River Valley. Come and see God's abundance. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. He's a God of blessing, not of cursings. He wills that all shall know him and come to the knowledge of him, from the least to the greatest. It is his desire to cause the deserts to blossom as rose, to cause the dry ground to bring forth that which is vegetative and life-giving. He shall cause the rivers to come through your dry places, the deserts to blossom as roses, and the knowledge of God good to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. In this conscious recognition of God's actual presence, recognizing that what he does, even today, have a body, that if you do not discern that body is because, and as it is written, you are sick because you discern not the Lord's body. And in that recognition of the body, the actual presence of God, we have established orphanages. We have established dormitories. We have rehabilitated 108 young people from the drug traffic in recent days. We have given our own educational program. We've established organic gardens, orchards, animal refuge shelters, community centers, swimming pool, housing, increasing in New York, establish a lovely new church in Indianapolis. We're going on in September to Seattle and to Vancouver, and again in October back to Indiana and Philadelphia. The mayor is coming to us from New York. As today, Mrs. Rosenfield prepared for our ministry there. We just came back from a long bus tour. I rode every night for 13 days all over this nation. We met with our congressman in Washington, effecting changes of legislation for peace and brotherhood, and conducted healing services everywhere, ministered to thousands, and as with Mrs. Rosenfield, so with hundreds of others, she was healed of cancer and was slated to die in just a matter of days. She now wrote from Newark, New Jersey today that she is restored to complete health. We'll be going back to Los Angeles again in Thanksgiving with this conscious presence that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, that he is here. Now his kingdom is within you, not in the sky. You don't have to wait for it, but God's energy and force and mind is available today. He is the same today as he was yesterday. He said, "These things shall ye do in greater, because I go to the Father." We even have a greater dispensation than in the day of the Nazarene. Will you believe? Why do you live in lacks, wants, and limitations, while you are being abundantly blessed in the work of the Good Shepherd? We ask you to write us if you would like to participate. People's Temple Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley, California. And you still have time this morning to come to Benjamin Franklin Junior High School, large auditorium at Scott and Gary in San Francisco, and see with your own eyes the visible presence of God in the earth today. healing the sick, restoring those that are crippled, passing cancers before your very eyes, causing the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the poor to have the gospel preached to them, even in our dispensation. I thank you.
Pastor Ron P. Pastor. Pastor Ron P. from People's Temple Christian Church in London, Valley, California, less than 2 hours drive north of San Francisco, Rio Kyle, on Route 101. We would like to invite you to our services. Sunday morning, the temple schedule is 11 o'clock in our lovely community center. And then 6 o'clock Sunday evening, we have a healing service in People's Temple in London, Valley. We provide free transportation for those that need it. Every Sunday morning, our 5 air-conditioned commercial buses leave a place of business owned by one of our parishioners, known as the Virginia Beauty Salon, at 1415 Divisadero Street, near Hill in San Francisco. We cordially invite you to attend. People's Temple is comprised of a senior citizen's home, a home rehabilitation center, animal refuge shelters. Volunteers that give education to 45 young people this semester in every field of academic learning. The missionary program is so vast that we have never heard of such a witness by our local church. Come and see for yourself this apostolic community that works in accord to the scriptures and the divine word. It is a sight to see 300 young people in every service, and so many churches are having difficulty even getting young people to attend the morning service. This Sunday, we will be having guests, as usual, coming all the way from Fresno and our Los Angeles extensions. So plan to be there early for the 11 o'clock service. Our next Benjamin Point from Junior High School Rally will be September 12th and 13th at the corner of Scott Hill. Fenced-in parking was provided for your protection. Last week, it was indeed marvelous. As one woman came out of her wheelchair, just by the beckoning word, revelation about her life, sustained her faith, and she walked out of her wheelchair and continued walking about that temple and left the building with the wheelchair pulled in. This is a daily occurrence. We ask you to come and see for yourself. In each service, will be broadcast on Saturday from 10 to 10:30 on this station and Sunday from 7 until 7:30 in the morning. We'll give some of the testimonies of healings that will edify and build up your faith. We do not believe that spiritual healing is opposed to medical science. We believe all good things come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variableness at all. Many precious souls were saved from cancer death through the all-powerful and loving Christ that operates through our pastor, Jim Jones. Mr. L.C. Crawford of 5113 writes, North Guilford, Indianapolis, Indiana. He was spared from the dread disease in one of our dynamic healing services in Indianapolis, in which thousands were in attendance. Mr. Crawford, a stranger to us, but not to God, was called out by name and told of events in his life and of exact occurrences in the lives of his loved ones. He was told of things that were inside his hand, down to even the color and name of a book on one of his tables in his room. Mr. Crawford praised such a wondrous gift of discernment, but was told that there was still more in store for him. Pastor Jones told him of the symptoms that had been distressing him, previous operation, and reached out to him to stop the very cancer that had been eating away at his body. It just passed before our eyes. Mrs. Peggy Hillsbury, 6007 Dover, Oakland, was called out by the mighty gift of discernment that operates through Pastor Jones at each and every service. She was told intricate and intimate details of her deceased son's life, things so private that no man could know them lest they be revealed by the Holy Spirit. As she confirmed these revelations as exactly correct, this mighty Christ that works through Prophet Jones reached into her life and told her of the fatal heart condition that she was afflicted with and the pain that she was then enduring. She cried out to him. As she did, he reached out to her and healed her and took all of her pain away. In our huge Indianapolis rallies, where thousands came to bear witness to the magnificent gifts of discernment a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jones called out a Cleo Glenn, 2057 Lafayette Road in Indianapolis, who was also a stranger to him, among the hundreds that were called out there. She was told of the exact problem she was having with her high blood pressure and her bladder. Then this marvelous all-knowing gift told her that the doctor said that she would have to have eye surgery. But the Christ that works through Pastor Jones let her leave before our very eyes, and the whole congregation watched as she read the fine print from the Bible as she rejoiced in her newly returned vision. She was told that there was still more work to be done, for she had arthritis that was making it difficult for her to move about. At the very touch of this man of God, she jumped and ran around the assembly like a new child and laid ever to hold through the mystery of this great ministry of God through Jesus. One of the stores called out in a recent Redwood Valley service was Mrs. Ruby Waters of 5057 9th Avenue, Sacramento. Mrs. Waters was singled out by the Christ Force that operates through Pastor Jones and told of precise events of her loved one's lives, even to what a brother was doing at the exact moment in a city thousands of miles away. She had been suffering with a great discomfort and trouble from a female problem. She had not been able to get any relief from it whatsoever. But when the hand of Prophet James Jones reached out to her, all her pain and problems completely vanished and has never returned to this day. We can provide you with as many testimonies as you wish if you will write People's Temple, Post Office Box 214, Redwood Valley. Also, if you would like to go to our large meetings in Seattle and Vancouver over the September 5th, 6th holidays, Labor Day, please write us for reservations. All of our commercial air-conditioned buses will be proceeding to that marvelous meeting. We're going to take the speaker journey in the line of faith because it is faith that enables us to find God. What is not what it is? What is not what has caused you to doubt or what has caused you to deviate? Your cause has nothing to do with it. Your doubts will cause you to be blind, to be stopped up. Your faith makes you whole. It will cause you to be blessed. He that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. His whole processes of living shall be stopped up. That is not what caused you to believe, what church opposition. If a chicken even caused you to believe, a little bird, a little animal caused you to believe, your faith will make you well, substantiated faith and unshaken confidence will reach the adverse conditions and will eradicate them whole, and will reach all chaos and all negation. In your consciousness and your despair, God in the midst of you is a living factor in the hearts and lives of men, and to you he is calling, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Thou shalt find rest for thy soul. Isn't it indeed wonderful? Rest comes through and by hearing, and by bringing your bodies into subjection, and sincerely believing wholeheartedly. You must hear a prophet. It is written, how can we hear without a preacher? How can we preach lest we be sent? The dead letter telleth that the Spirit, the spoken word, maketh alive. Upon this foundation, if you will stand, and will not deviate nor shrink from your resolve, your faith in me as I follow Christ this morning, it will set you free from all adversities and will keep you free and free indeed. If you continue in my word, said Christ in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He that the Son sets free is free indeed.